This is Audible.
The Complete Ketogenic Diet Guide for Beginners. Lose weight with the ultimate perfect keto meal prep plan. Written by Weight Loss Master. Narrated by Rachel LeBlanc. Ketogenic Diet Definition. The ketogenic diet is a nutritional strategy based on the reduction of food carbohydrates, which forces the body to independently produce glucose necessary for survival and to increase the energy consumption of fat contained in adipose tissue. Introduction. Ketogenic diet means diet that produces ketone bodies, a metabolic residue of energy production. Regularly produced in minimal quantities and easily disposable with urine and pulmonary ventilation, ketone bodies reach a higher level than the normal condition. The undesired excess of ketone bodies, responsible for the tendency to lower blood pH, is called ketosis. Also, the motor activity effects, positively or negatively depending on the case, on the condition of ketoacidosis. The presence of ketone bodies in the blood has different effects on the body. Some are considered useful in the weight loss process, others are collateral. There is no single type of ketogenic diet, and all dietary styles that provide less carbohydrates than necessary, such as the Atkins diet or LCHF, low carb, high fat, low carbohydrate, high lipid content, are ketogenic. Some types of the ketogenic diet are used in the clinical setting, but these are systems mainly used in the field of fitness and aesthetic culture. Characteristics of the ketogenic diet. The ketogenic diet is a nutritional scheme featuring low in calories, a low-calorie diet, low percentages and absolute carbohydrate content, a low-carb diet, high percentages of proteins, even if the absolute quantity in grams is more often medium. High percentage and absolute lipid content. Purposes. This food strategy is used above all in three contexts, very different from each other. Weight loss, preferably under medical supervision. Food therapy of certain metabolic pathologies such as hyperglycemia and hypertriglyceridemia, only under medical supervision. Reduction of symptoms associated with childhood epilepsy, only when the subject is not responding to drug therapy and only under medical supervision. What to eat in the ketogenic diet? The most important aspect to reach the state of ketosis is to eat foods that do not contain carbohydrates, to limit those that bring few and avoid the foods that are rich in them. The recommended foods are meat, fishery products, and eggs, the basic food group, cheeses, the fundamental group of foods, fats and seasoning oils, 5 fundamental group of foods, vegetables, 6 and 7 fundamental group of foods. Foods advised against are cereals, potatoes, and derivatives, 3 fundamental food group, legumes, 4 fundamental food group, fruits, 6 and 7 fundamental food group, sweet drinks, various sweets, beer, etc. Generally, it is recommended to maintain a carbohydrate intake of less than or equal to 50 grams per day, ideally organized in 3 portions with 20 grams each. A rather strict guideline for a correct ketogenic diet involves an energy distribution of 10% from carbohydrates, 15 to 25% protein, not forgetting that proteins, also containing glucogenic amino acids, participating in supporting the level of glucose in the body, 70% or more from fat. How to understand being in ketosis? To identify a possible state of ketosis, it is possible to carry out urine tests with special urine strips, blood, blood ketone gauges, or breath, ketone analyzer in the breath. However, you can also rely on certain revealing symptoms, which require no tests. Dry mouth and feeling thirsty. Increase in diuresis for the filtration of acetoacetate. Acetal breath or sweat due to the presence of acetone that escapes through our breath. Appetite reduction. Fatigue. How many ketones must be present in the blood? There is no real distinction between ketosis and non-ketosis. The level of these compounds is influenced by diet and lifestyle. However, it is possible to state that there is an optimal range for the correct functioning of the ketogenic diet. Below 0.5 millimoles of ketones per liter of blood is not considered ketosis. Between 0.5 to 1.5, we speak of light ketosis. With 1.5 to 3 millimoles per liter, the ketosis is defined as optimal. Values of over 3, in addition to not being more effective, compromise the state of health, especially in the case of type 1 diabetes. Values over 8 to 10 are difficult to achieve with a diet. Sometimes they are obtained in diseases or through inadequate physical activity, and are often related to very serious symptoms or illnesses. How does it work? Cellular energy production takes place thanks to the metabolization of some substrates, above all glucose and fatty acids. Mostly, this process begins in the cytoplasm, anaerobic glycolysis, without oxygen, and ends in the mitochondria, Krebs cycle, with oxygen and ATP recharge. Note, the muscle cells are also able to oxidize good amounts of branched amino acids. However, two fundamental aspects must be emphasized. Some tissues, like the nervous ones, work almost exclusively with glucose. The correct cellular use of fatty acid is subordinate to the presence of glucose, which, if deficient, is produced by the liver by means of neoglucogenesis, starting from substrates such as glucogenic amino acids and glycerol. Note, by itself, neoglucogenesis is not able to definitively satisfy, in the long term, the metabolic demands of the whole organism. This is why carbohydrates, although they cannot be defined as essential, should be considered essential nutrients and a minimum intake of 180 grams a day is recommended, the minimum quantity to guarantee the full functionality of the central nervous system. Residual ketone bodies. During energy production, the fatty acids are first reduced to COA, coenzyme A, and immediately afterwards allowed to enter the Krebs cycle. Here, they bind to oxaloacetate to reach a further oxidization, until it ends with the release of carbon dioxide and water. When the production of acetyl-CoA by lipolysis exceeds the absorption capacity of oxaloacetate, the formation of the so-called ketone bodies occurs. Note, each ketone body is formed by two molecules of acetyl-CoA. Kinical body types. The ketone bodies are of three types. Acetone, acetoacetate, 3-hydroxybutyrate. The ketone bodies can be further oxidized, in particular from muscle cells, from the heart and, to a lesser extent, from the brain, which uses them especially in the absence of glucose, or eliminated with urine and pulmonary ventilation. Needless to specify that increasing the ketone bodies in the blood also increases the workload of the kidneys. If the production of ketone bodies exceeds the disposal capacity of the organism, they accumulate in the blood, giving rise to the so-called ketosis. Ketosis, ketoacidosis, and metabolic acidosis. Also called ketoacidosis, this condition lowers the blood pH, defining the typical picture of metabolic acidosis, typical of untreated diabetics. In extreme cases, acidosis can lead to coma and even death. The role of motor activity on ketoacidosis is, in a sense, contradictory, starting from the assumption that the use of the ketogenic diet is, however, a metabolic forcing, which in the long run can lead to unpleasant consequences, even in a young and well-trained organism. It is necessary to specify that, on the one hand, intense physical exercise increases the energy demands of glucose, favoring the production and accumulation of ketone bodies. On the other hand, moderate exercise increases the oxidation of ketone bodies by opposing their accumulation and the negative effects that they can exert in the body. Neoglucogenesis. We have already said that the organism still needs glucose and that, if not taken with the diet, it must be produced with neoglucogenesis. Indispensable for the correct functioning of nerve tissue in particular, glucose is also necessary to complete lipid oxidation. Gluconeogenesis is a process that leads to the formation of glucose starting from the carbon skeleton of some amino acids, called glucogenic, or that give rise to oxaloacetate, to a lesser extent also from glycerol and lactic acid. This process ensures a constant supply of energy, even in conditions of glucose deficiency, but forces the liver and kidneys to work harder to eliminate nitrogen. Benefits of the ketogenic diet. It facilitates weight loss thanks to total calorie reduction, constant blood glucose and insulin maintenance, increased consumption of fat for energy purposes, increased global caloric expenditure due to increased specific dynamic action and metabolic work. It has an anorectic effect, and it can be useful in countering the symptoms of epilepsy that do not respond to drugs, especially in children. Disadvantages. The ketogenic diet can also show several disadvantages, most of which depend on the levels of ketone bodies present in the blood. Increased renal filtration and diuresis, excretion of ketone bodies and nitrogenous waste. Tendency to dehydration. Increased workload of the kidneys. Possible toxic effects on the kidneys by ketone bodies. Possible hypoglycemia. Possible hypotension. Keto flu, a syndrome linked to the poor adaptation of the organism after 2 to 3 days from the start of the ketogenic diet, which includes headache, fatigue, dizziness, light nausea, and irritability. In the most sensitive subjects, increased chance of fainting due to the previous two. More tendencies to have muscle cramps, constipation, sensation of heart palpitations, increased liver workload due to increased neoglucogenesis, transamination, and deamination processes. In the presence of intense and/or prolonged motor activity, muscle catabolism. It is unbalanced and tends to limit the intake of some very important nutrients. It can be particularly harmful for malnourished subjects such as, for example, those affected by eating disorders, DCA, type 1 diabetics, those who are pregnant or nursing, and those who have already suffered from liver and/or kidney diseases. Carbohydrates. Do they compromise health and promote mortality? Premise. Observing and carefully comparing the list of advantages with that of the disadvantages, it seems that the ketogenic diet is not a real manna from heaven. In fact, it is a method contradicted in several situations. It also requires a certain individual sensitivity, or the use of analytical tools that ensure that it fits perfectly within the ideal ketosis. It is undoubtedly a rather cumbersome and not very spontaneous strategy. However, it is still widely used today in the field of weight loss and food therapy against chronic hyperglycemia. Scientific research suggests that, if used correctly, the ketogenic diet can not only be useful, but also remedy some damage caused by carbohydrate-rich diets, obesity, type 2 diabetes, hypertriglyceridemia, etc. Pure Studio of Degan et al., 2017. Pure, Degan et al. 2017, is a prospective or cohort study that has observed over 135,000 participants from 18 countries for many years, excluding subjects with pre-existing cardiovascular diseases, except for diabetes. After a 7.4-year follow-up from the start of the observation, more than 10,000 deaths of cardiovascular events, such as heart attack and stroke, occurred related to the parameters at the start of the study, socioeconomic factors, nutrition, and motor activity questionnaires. It turns out that the intake of carbohydrates increases the total mortality, while the lipids, indistinctly saturated and unsaturated, decrease it. No link was noted between fat consumption and cardiovascular events or other types of related mortality, with the exception of saturated fats, which unexpectedly associated with a lower risk of stroke. The release of insulin caused by the intake of glucose and the activation of the corresponding signaling cascade can be considered the main reason that increasing the carbohydrate intake leads to mortality. As demonstrated by the high incidence of tumors in diabetics, hyperinsulinemia is a very important malignant growth factor. Reduction of glucose absorption. From a therapeutic perspective, if carbohydrates are important factors in promoting mortality, not only the reduction of total intake, but also the inhibition of the absorption and metabolism of carbohydrates should extend the lifespan. Acarbose is an alpha-glucosidase inhibitor, an intestinal enzyme that releases D-glucose from complex carbohydrates, especially starch. It has been used in the treatment of diabetics to limit the absorption of carbohydrates in the intestine since the 1980s. In line with the role of carbohydrates in impairing health, acarbose has been shown to prolong lifespan in mice. Harrison et al., 2014. Renal sodium glucose cotransporter 2 inhibitors, SGLT2, promote the removal of D-glucose from the blood through urine. These newly developed inhibitors are used for the treatment of diabetics. The potential effects on the lifespan of organisms or humans have not yet been published, but seem justified. The anti-diabetic metformin, currently investigated with regard to the extension of lifespan, TAME study, reduces the production of glucose, gluconeogenesis, from the liver and causes a reduction in blood sugar. Combination of nutrients. In mice, the almost complete removal of carbohydrates, less than 1%, to obtain a ketogenic diet has improved life expectancy compared to a high-carbohydrate diet. On the other hand, Roberts et al. 2017 observed that by reconstituting even just 10% of the energy in simple sugars, this positive effect disappeared. By replacing sugars with complex carbohydrates, the parameters improve significantly. Sugars are therefore the worst effect. It has been shown that combining a high-fat diet with medium percentages of simple sugars results in negative results. However, the worst ones were obtained by combining very high amounts of fat and sugar. Furthermore, an extension of the lifespan of mice was noted by replacing nutritional proteins with carbohydrates, independent of total calories. Solombiet et al. 2014. Taken together, these studies suggest that dietary sugar may be very important, but not unique limiting factors on rodent health. Criticism in the study. The PURE study has been criticized for manipulating the statistical effect of its results, in particular, nutritional habits dependent on income and geography of specific subgroups would not be applicable to high-income Western societies, which had, however, been included in PURE. Indeed, Degan et al. 2017 have not analyzed which specific source of carbohydrates, refined sugar, carbohydrates, or whole grains can contribute to the harmful effects of carbohydrates, and how income can influence the quality of dietary choices. However, an additional re-elaboration was subsequently proposed on family income and wealth, as well as on the socioeconomic status of the respective country, demonstrating that these variables in no way influence the main observations of the study. Appendix, page 34, by Degan et al., 2017. Conclusion of the study. The PURE study team believes that current nutritional recommendations, especially regarding refined carbohydrates and sugar, should be radically reconsidered. Furthermore, pharmacological options to stimulate low-carbohydrate nutrition, i.e., without the need for an effective reduction in carbohydrate intake, should be considered a useful and practical approach to changes in nutritional habits for the general population. Ketogenic diet. Is it worth it? Avoiding taking glucose through the diet and forcing the body to use the less convenient amino acids is a somewhat questionable strategy because it poisons the entire organism, tends to fatigue the liver and kidneys unnecessarily, and makes the nervous system and muscles less efficient. On the other hand, the potential negative effects of serious amounts of ketogenic diets are more limited than many believe, or rather, the ketogenic diet alone in the short term does not cause kidney failure, liver failure, reduced basal metabolic rate and impaired thyroid, bone demineralization, and etc. What could instead happen in the long term is still the subject of studies. Certainly, the ketogenic diet should not be understood as a definitive food strategy, especially given the contradictions it may have in certain situations. It is, however, undoubted that all this work, in addition to keeping insulin levels low, responsible together with the excess of calories for the adipose deposit, increases the amount of calories burned, stimulates the secretion of hormones and the production of metabolites, which favor the disposal of fat and suppress appetite. For all these reasons, the slimming effectiveness of the ketogenic diet is all in all high. The ketogenic diet works immediately, but subjects the body to continuous and unhealthy stress. If poorly designed, especially when badly distributed or excessively restrictive, the ketogenic diet must be abandoned and replaced with other less dangerous and equally effective dietary strategies. Although it is also used in the treatment of epilepsy that does not respond adequately to drugs, in other contexts, the ketogenic diet can be particularly harmful. It is in fact one of the most common extreme food strategies in certain eating disorders, DCA. If performed by a person suffering from type 1 diabetes, even if there really is no reason, it requires a great deal of attention and medical support because it could have very serious health consequences. Moreover, being strongly unbalanced, it can compromise the nutritional demands of a pregnant woman or nursing woman. What is the ketogenic diet? The ketogenic diet is an ancient diet regimen born as an alternative therapy in childhood epilepsy, and today useful for promoting rapid weight loss, especially in the case of severe obesity, and as a treatment for various diseases including diabetes and neurodegenerative diseases. Let's find out what it is in detail and how to structure a typical day. By ketogenic diet, or simply keto, we mean a diet regimen capable of inducing and maintaining a chronic state of ketosis, i.e., a metabolic condition in which ketone bodies are used, acetone, acetoacetate acid, and B-hydroxybutyric acid, normally present in blood in a negligible quantity, as an energy substrate instead of glucose, sugar. Born nearly 100 years ago, it became popular in the 1920s and 30s as a therapeutic alternative to fasting and childhood epilepsy. It was Dr. Russell Wilder of the Mayo Clinic who theorized in 1924 the characteristics of this diet and published the first scientific data related to its experimentation. In the 40s, its use in the treatment of infantile epilepsy fell into disuse due to the entry into the market of new anti-epileptic drugs. The pioneering studies of Professor Blackburn of Harvard University in the 1970s were followed by the launch of the spread and application worldwide of the ketogenic diet protocol for the treatment of obesity. But what is the ketogenic diet? There are different ways to induce the state of ketosis: fasting, the ketogenic condition par excellence, or a diet rich in fats and/or proteins that can be structured including only foods, only meal substitutes, for example, protein powders, or a combination of both. The known versions of the ketogenic diet are different, including standard ketogenic diet, SKD. It is a low-carbohydrate diet, moderate protein intake, and high fat. In general, it has a 75% fat, 20% protein, and only 5% carbohydrates. The few carbohydrates are provided solely by vegetables. Cyclical ketogenic diet, CKD, this diet involves the introduction of short periods with a higher intake of carbohydrates. For example, 5 ketogenic days followed by 2 days with higher carbohydrate intake. Intermittent ketogenic diet, TKD. This diet allows you to take carbohydrates before and after training. High-protein ketogenic diet. It is similar to standard ketogenic, but includes more proteins. The ratio of macronutrients is often 60% fat, 35% protein, and 5% carbohydrate. Cyclical ketogenic and targeted ketogenic are more advanced methods and are mainly used by bodybuilders or athletes. Instead, the standard ketogenic diet and the high protein content ketogenic are the most studied, presenting an extensive scientific bibliography. Numerous studies show that the ketogenic diet can promote weight loss, improve health, and even have benefits in the treatment of diabetes, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease. Ketogenic diet and weight loss. There are various scientific evidences on the effectiveness of ketogenic diets in weight loss, reduction of fat mass, and preservation of muscle mass. Several studies have compared a low-fat diet with a ketogenic diet to assess the effectiveness in weight loss, and the results have shown the superiority of the ketogenic diet. The effects of a low-carbohydrate diet on body composition and cardiovascular risk factors in 42 obese women were determined in a 2013 randomized study published by JCEM. It emerged that the women who followed the ketogenic diet lost 2.2 times more weight than those on the low-calorie and low-fat 30% regimen, also showing an improvement in triglyceride and cholesterol levels, HDL, the good ones. Ketogenic diet and diabetes. The ketogenic diet can promote weight loss, the reduction of excess fat, and improve insulin sensitivity. All factors strongly relate to type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetic syndrome, and metabolic syndrome. Other uses of the ketogenic diet. Clinical trials and studies on animal models showed that the ketogenic diet can provide enormous benefits for a wide range of neurodegenerative disorders, including Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, and can also be protective in traumatic brain injury and strokes. These observations are supported by studies carried out on animal models that show the ketone bodies, in particular B-hydroxybutyrate, confer neuroprotection against different types of cell damage. The ketogenic diet is a diet therapy used in the treatment of childhood epilepsy, and, thanks to all the reduction in the levels of insulin that it determines, it can also be an excellent strategy in the case of polycystic ovary and acne. Ketogenic diet. Example of a typical day. Granted foods and prohibited foods. In the ketogenic diet, carbohydrates are limited to 20 to 50 grams per day. And although it may seem difficult, many foods can easily adapt to this food style. Example of a typical day. To better clarify how a ketogenic diet should be structured, it may be useful to describe an example of a typical day. Purely indicative, the absence of quantities is justified by the fact that there are highly variable values according to needs. Needs and objectives of the person, all conditions that must be evaluated and established with a reference professional. Breakfast, omelet with cheese, ham, and mushrooms, accompanied by coffee, herbal tea, infusion, or tea without sugar. Snack, whole yogurt with coconut flakes. Lunch, mixed salad with grilled chicken breast, feta, olives, and avocado. Snack, dried fruit. Dinner, steamed salmon steak with spinach cooked in coconut oil. Ketogenic diet, side effects and sustainability. The ketogenic diet is safe if followed under the scrupulous control of nutritional professionals, doctors, nutritionists, and dietitians as an alternative, where possible, to bariatric surgery and as an additional treatment for some diseases, including epilepsy. However, it should be kept in mind that in the early stages of this regimen, there may be some side effects that are exhausted within a few days, known as the keto influenza. The ketogenic influenza includes symptoms such as low energy and a reduction in mental function, increased hunger, halitosis, sleep problems, nausea, digestive disorders, and reduced sports performance. To minimize these effects, it is advisable to start with a low-carbohydrate diet for the first few weeks before eliminating them altogether. A ketogenic diet can also change the body's water and salt balance, so it may be helpful to take a supplement of mineral salts and greater daily hydration to help eliminate ketone bodies. During treatment with this diet, alterations of the ALVO may persist, more frequently constipation, and alterations of the hematochemical parameters without clinical support, hyperuricemia, hypoproteinemia, hyperlipidemia, and hypocalcemia may occur. Anyone suffering from kidney or heart disease should carefully evaluate the adequacy of this diet for their condition with their doctor. It is therefore not a sustainable diet for everyone and, if not used for therapeutic purposes, should be followed for a strictly limited period of time. Benefits. The benefits of the ketogenic diet. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are similar to those that can be attained from any poor or even lacking carbohydrate diet. However, in this case, the results could be greater, considering that ketogenic diet results in a significant drop in protein. The benefits that can be obtained by following the ketogenic diet can be found not only in weight loss, which is accelerated, but also in the reduction of acne. Among the causes, excess sugar that could cause hormonal imbalance. And again, this type of diet, which focuses entirely on the significant reduction of carbohydrate intake, could represent for people with cancer an adequate complementary treatment to chemotherapy, without forgetting its possible support in the prevention and treatment of diseases important as Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, but also a valid ally for those who suffer severely from sleep disorders. In all the cases listed, the conditional is inevitably required. Ketogenic diet to lose weight. The basic discourse never changes. In order to lose weight and lose fat, you need a calorie deficit, and therefore a low-calorie diet. However, some characteristics attributed to the state of adaptation to ketosis have made the ketogenic diet more interesting than other low-calorie ones. The suppression of appetite and the sense of well-being, absence of asthenia and sense of exhaustion, conditions that people often suffer in the attempt to lose weight. However, at least as far as the feeling of satiety is concerned, this does not seem to be due as much to the state of ketosis as to the effect of proteins. Thus, this advantage is not exclusive to ketogenic, rather than high-protein diets. For some years now, some researchers have suggested that low-carbohydrate diets as a treatment for obesity are based on the simple assumption that subjects tend to eat fewer calories, and therefore lose more weight, fat, when carbohydrates are limited to a maximum of 30 to 50 grams per day, or less. A debate has therefore begun regarding the actual loss of fat due to particular conditions of the metabolism during the state of ketosis, or simply because we eat less, caloric intake. For years, there has been discussion on the subject, and although it continues today, scientific research has established that it is the second hypothesis, the right one. The ketogenic diet is not superior to other hypocaloric diets and relative to hypoproteic with regard to fat loss. If anything, it can be better, in some cases and on some subjects, due to the effects of appetite suppression induced by high intake of proteins and fats that stimulate satiety more than sugars. And for the effect of ketones, although this is also still discussed, over time different approaches to this diet have been developed. Thus, the cyclical ketogenic diets were born, of which probably the most famous is still the metabolic diet, muscle mass, and ketogenic diet. The degradation of proteins during total fasting for the production of glucose has led over the years to studies and experiments, two clearly different approaches, with the aim of avoiding or at least reducing this loss. The most intuitive and simplest approach was to supply glucose in order to eliminate the need to use proteins for energy purposes. However, this had a negative and intuitive secondary effect. Adaptation to ketosis did not occur, or occurred more slowly. The second approach was based, instead, on a substantially different reasoning. Since in the absence of glucose, before the body adapts completely to ketosis, a large part of the proteins is used for energy purposes, with negative consequences on muscle mass. We solve the problem simply by increasing the protein intake. In this way, muscle mass will be affected much less. This intuition does not even present the negative side of the first approach. It is true that even proteins raise insulin, but they do it in a minor way compared to carbohydrates that lead to a consistent elevation in blood sugar. Furthermore, proteins also stimulate glucagon. In this way, the conditions to establish ketosis are roughly maintained. The level of proteins that can be taken before they affect the ketosis process is very high, if the carbohydrate intake is minimal. After much research, studies, and debates, it was concluded that a protein intake of about 1.5 to 1.75 grams per kilogram of ideal body weight would be enough to save most of the nitrogen loss, and therefore to reduce protein catabolism muscle, especially once you have adapted to ketosis, and therefore the demands for glucose have decreased significantly, about 30 grams only for the brain compared with almost 100 grams a day under normal conditions. From this point of view, therefore, in any type of ketogenic diet, the adaptation of daily protein intake is essential to preserve most of the muscle mass. In general, regardless of body weight, the minimal amount of protein that must be consumed during the first 3 weeks of a ketogenic diet would seem to be around 150 grams per day, as also indicated by Lyle McDonald, while after the first 3 to 4 weeks, the protein intake can also be lowered. In conclusion, ketogenic diets can be useful for maintaining muscle mass if the protein intake is adequately corrected, but in any case, there is no evidence that they are worse or better than other low-calorie ones with sustainable protein intake. Does the ketogenic diet work? If by "it works" we mean that they can lose weight and maintain muscle mass, the answer is yes. However, the metabolic advantages of ketosis are denied, so it is wrong to think that a ketogenic diet is regardless of better or worse than another diet for fat loss. There will simply be people who are comfortable with a ketogenic approach and people who would optimize their results by following different dietary strategies. One of the advantages attributed to the ketogenic diet is the increase in satiety. Therefore, a better food control and a greater compliance to the diet. However, compliance is not only due to the theoretical satiating effect of a macronutrient, meal, or diet, but also to the possibility of choosing foods that can be consumed more or less freely. A ketogenic is a diet that inevitably precludes the consumption of a great variety of foods, so it is not always an easy diet to follow for people. Indeed, it is usually the opposite. Furthermore, the satiating effect of ketogenic substances seems to be attributed largely, if not totally, to protein intake, and this means that it is proteins and not ketogenic in itself that has an advantage over this aspect, suggesting that other diets, not ketogenic, can bring the same benefits on the regulation of hunger and satiety that we find in ketogenic diets. It should be emphasized, however, that the ketogenic diet is considered safe. The side effects are minimal and temporary. Clearly, like all particular approaches, they provide contradictions in some pathological cases. Finally, it should be considered that the effectiveness of ketogenic diets also depends on how they are structured, since there are several protocols and variants. Ketogenic diet contradictions. The ketogenic diet is particularly contradictory in disorders of lipid metabolism, as ketogenic dietary protocols provide for an abnormal intake of lipids. Therefore, all those subjects with carnitine deficiencies, carnitine palmitoyl transferase 1 and 2, the enzyme system that allows the transport of fatty acids into the mitochondria, where beta oxidation takes place, 3-hydroxyacyl COA, or pyruvate carboxylase must not follow a ketogenic diet. There are no particular contradictions for a ketogenic diet if it is not underlined with the application of this dietary strategy. And the presence of some pathologies, such as diabetes, is particularly complex and needs careful monitoring and some changes to traditional protocols. Any general side effects are instead discussed in another paragraph of the article. Kidney damage. The concern about kidney damage induced by a ketogenic diet is the belief that a higher protein intake compared to RDA for sedentary subjects, 0.8 to 1 gram per kilogram, can cause damage to the renal system and progressive loss of functional capacity of the kidneys. In fact, the scientific literature has long denied this hypothesis, at least for protein intake, even if very high, for some weeks or months. While very long-term effects are not fully known due to the lack of adequate studies. Liver damage. A concern often raised by doctors about the potential negative effects of a low-carbohydrate and high-protein diet concerns the alleged potential liver damage from an excess of protein. In fact, scientific research is not very substantial in this regard. In one of the few longer-term studies, only 4 weeks, no changes were observed regarding liver enzymes following a ketogenic diet. The other long-term studies concern epileptic children who follow a ketogenic diet, and also in this case, no liver damage has ever occurred. However, for intellectual honesty, we remember that these studies are not 100% reliable. In essence, it cannot be said with certainty that ketogenic substances do not have long-term effects, years, on liver function. And at the same time, it is absolutely incorrect to do psychological terrorism on this topic. At the moment, there is no evidence that a ketogenic diet correctly observed may damage the liver. Although low-carbohydrate diets, and thus ketogenic diets, generally tend to normalize insulin levels and blood glucose, it should be borne in mind that when carbohydrates are reintroduced, there is an increase in insulin resistance. However, this phenomenon must not lead to the conclusion that it is better not to introduce carbohydrates into the diet for life. If anything, it should make us reflect and push nutrition experts to look for other methods to improve glucose sensitivity and the functionality of insulin mechanisms. However, this phenomenon must not lead to the conclusion that it is better not to introduce carbohydrates into the diet for life. If anything, it should make us reflect and push nutrition experts to look for other methods to improve glucose sensitivity and the functionality of insulin mechanisms. There is little research concerning the physiological effects of carbohydrate reintroduced after a long period of ketogenic diet, but it seems that the initial physiological response given by the reintroduction of carbohydrates is similar to what happens in type 2 diabetes, that is, concentration fluctuations of blood glucose and hyperinsulinemia. However, we also keep in mind that these answers do not occur in all the studies and that, to say it all, is prevalent in those individuals who already had previously, I mean before having followed the low-carbohydrate diet, glucose management problems, and some degree of insulin resistance. More than a side effect, an eventual damage to the body due to the ketogenic diet, it would be more correct to say that in many cases, a ketogenic diet is not an optimal strategy to improve the pathological conditions of insulin resistance, net of any results on weight loss and fat, triglyceridemia, and cholesterol. The fact that a ketogenic diet is high in fat leads most people to have concerns regarding the effects on triglyceridemia, cholesterolemia, and the potential increased risk of cardiovascular diseases. We know, in fact, that high levels of total cholesterol, but above all high levels of LDL, the so-called bad cholesterol, and low levels of HDL, the so-called good cholesterol, correlate with an increased risk of these diseases. Indeed, early short-term studies showed a sharp increase in blood lipid levels following a high-fat diet. However, some subsequent research has not shown significant changes in blood parameters, and even some have shown a decrease in cholesterol levels. The scientific research has therefore not brought conclusive results, and it is wrong to extrapolate conclusions starting from the analysis of only a part of the existing studies on the subject. But why are these researches not reliable? The problem is always the same. These are short-term studies, and therefore not only are they not predictive of anything, but also tend to present variable conclusions. However, there are few long-term studies except those on epileptic children who have followed a ketogenic diet for 2 to 3 years. These subjects do not represent an adequate study model and therefore cannot be used to reach absolute conclusions. In their case, however, blood lipid levels increase. In fact, it is considered one of the side effects of a ketogenic diet observed over such a long period of time. However, such a diet is not meant to be sustained for life, and the researchers say that any alterations in blood lipids can be corrected at the end of the diet. In support of this thesis, the Inuit example is often used. These people follow a diet with a very low carbohydrate content and a high lipid intake for long periods of time each year, and despite this, there is no evidence that they develop heart disease more rapidly than other Americans. This suggests that there are no other long-term protective effects. That being said, some doctors expressed their concerns following the increase in degenerative diseases and found to be correlated with high levels of lipids in the blood. However, these pathologies take years, if not even decades, to develop, unless an individual observes an overly hyperlipid diet for 10 to 15 years without interruption, the researchers do not believe there may be any health problems. Finally, another problem in assessing blood lipid levels is that they are absolutely dependent on caloric restrictions, and above all, on weight loss. We are also talking about two related aspects. Therefore, we can simply say that the position of scientific research on the subject is this. If an individual loses weight or fat on a hypoglucid ketogenic diet, his cholesterol levels will go down. If an individual does not lose weight or fat following a ketogenic diet, his cholesterol levels will increase. Clinical experiences tell us that individuals who follow a hyperlipidic, hypoglucidic diet have a wide variable range of responses. Some show a drastic decrease in cholesterol, others show an increase. As for triglycerides, there is usually a reduction in blood levels with a ketogenic diet. This can be explained by greater use of fatty acids in most tissues, such as in skeletal muscle. Since there is no absolute conclusion about cholesterol levels during a diet of this type, subjects should monitor blood lipid levels periodically. Constipation. Another criticism of the ketogenic diet is its correlation with constipation. This disorder is one of the most common side effects found in a diet of this type. Very probably, all of this derives from the low intake of daily dietary fiber. The lack of carbohydrates leads researchers to think that fiber intake is generally low, or in any case much lower than those who follow a more balanced, low-calorie diet. There is no doubt that fiber is an important nutrient for human health. At the base of this, it is always advised to use a fiber supplement, without sugar, to increase the total daily intake. To tell the truth, however, the research seems to establish, but not in a certain and absolute way for now, that the added fibers are not as beneficial as the fibers found naturally in food. My advice, sincerely dictated only by a little common sense, is to foresee the consumption of different portions of vegetables even if a ketogenic diet is followed, as they are undoubtedly beneficial for the state of health and also do not contain large quantities of carbohydrates and hardly hinder adaptation to ketosis. Carbohydrate functions. Carbohydrates are a main energy source, especially during intense physical activity. They also have a plastic function and are involved in the formation of nucleic acids in nervous structures. After being transformed into glucose, carbohydrates can go against three different metabolic processes. They can be used by cells to produce energy. They can be stored in the liver or muscle reserves in the form of glycogen. Or they can be transformed into fat and deposited as such if the glucogen levels are saturated. These are amino acids, vitamins, and essential fatty acids, but there are no essential carbohydrates. However, the role of carbohydrates in our body is fundamental. The central nervous system alone needs about 180 grams of glucose a day to perform its functions optimally. Red blood cells and adrenal medullary cells also use glucose exclusively as a primary energy source. If needed, our body can obtain glucose from the carbon skeleton of some amino acids and from the glycerol contained in fat. In conditions of extreme glucose deficiency, prolonged fasting, this process leads to the formation of toxic substances, the ketone bodies that lower the blood pH with serious consequences for the body. Blood glucose regulation. Blood glucose represents the amount of glucose present in the blood. The human body has a series of mechanisms that keep it relatively constant throughout the day, regardless of the amount of carbohydrates consumed in the diet. The liver is the main organ involved in the regulation process. When the blood sugar drops, it releases the glucose contained in the hepatocytes. When it rises, it's stored in the form of glycogen. This allows you to keep your muscle protein stocks intact. Generally, the diet of industrialized countries are very rich in carbohydrates. In particular, in the last one, a large use was made of simple carbohydrates, that is, of mono and disaccharides, which are added during the preparation to sweeten foods. Carbohydrates and glucose. An excessive consumption of sugars is related to diseases such as obesity, dental caries, and diabetes. It is therefore advisable to limit the use of carbohydrates with a high glycemic index, preferring those with a low glycemic index. The glycemic index, GI, represents the rate at which blood glucose increases following the intake of 50 grams of carbohydrates. The higher the glycemic index, the faster the absorption of carbohydrates. Simple sugars, high in GI, enter into circulation very quickly, making it necessary to overproduce insulin, which in the long run can lead to a functional decline of the cells responsible for its production, diabetes. The abrupt drop in blood sugar that ensues, in addition to tiring the subject, makes him more tired and less concentrated, leads to premature appearances of the hunger stimuli. This leads to a vicious cycle that can easily lead to obesity. Given the negative consequences of a high carbohydrate diet, in the last decade, many food models with very low carbohydrate content have been produced. However, the extreme reduction of carbohydrates is not without side effects. The excess of proteins and fats increases the danger of hypercholesterolemia, of liver and kidney diseases, and of some cancers. Moreover, in the case of extreme lack of carbohydrates, ketone bodies form, as in the untreated diabetic, which acidify the blood and can lead to coma. It is therefore necessary to find the right balance between the levels of intake of the various nutrients without excluding any priorities. How many carbohydrates? We have seen the dangers of both an excess and a carbohydrate defect. The Mediterranean diet provides a glucose intake that varies between 55 and 65% of the daily calorie intake. At the same time, the consumption of simple sugars should not exceed 10 to 12% of the total daily energy. However, in light of the latest research in the food field, we recommend sticking to the lower limit of this range. That is, to introduce a daily quantity of carbohydrates between 50 and 55% of the total energy, and trying to limit the consumption of carbohydrates to simple ones. Green light, therefore, for the consumption of foods rich in fiber, such as vegetables and non-sugary fruit. Yellow light for starchy foods like bread, pasta, and rice. And red light for refined sugars, honey, sugar, glucose, and derivatives such as glucose syrup and maltose. Carbohydrates in sports. During intense physical activity, our body uses almost exclusively glucose to satisfy the increased energy demands. It is therefore very important that the sportsman's diet provides the right carbohydrate intake. However, a distinction must be made between endurance sports and power sports. In the former, cycling, walking, cross-country skiing, running, etc., the recommended daily intake is 55 to 65% of the total energy, depending on the frequency and duration of training. In the seconds, it is good to stay in the intervals recommended for the sedentary population, 50 to 55% increasing, if necessary, the protein intake. Proteins, from the Greek protos, or primary, represents a large group of organic compounds formed by sequences of amino acids linked together through peptide bonds. We can imagine amino acids as the building blocks of proteins and peptide bonds as the glue that holds them together. Proteins. Protein-rich food expresses most of the genetic information. Depending on their function, they can be distinguished into enzymes, transport proteins, contractiles, structural, defense, and regulatory. Proteins are subject to a continuous process of demolition and synthesis, the so-called protein turnover, through which the body is able to continuously renew worn-out proteins, replacing them with new protein material. Moreover, this process allows the body to replace the amino acids used for energy purposes and to deposit new ones to reinforce certain tissues. For example, following physical exercise. The proportion of amino acids that are degraded daily is about 30 to 40 grams per day on average. This quota is called protein proportion of wear and must be introduced daily with the diet because our body does not have protein reserves. All the proteins present in our body, about 12 to 15% of body mass, are in fact functional. There are 20 amino acids involved in protein synthesis that are essential. The essential term indicates the body's inability to synthesize these amino acids from other amino acids by biochemical transformations. These amino acids must therefore be introduced with the diet. Foods of animal origin have the best amino acid profile because they generally have all the essential amino acids in good quantities. Unlike these, foods of vegetable origin usually have deficiencies of one or more essential amino acids. However, these deficiencies can be overcome through the right food associations, such as pasta and beans. In this case, we speak of mutual integration because the amino acids of which the pasta is lacking are supplied by the beans and vice versa. Calories. Burning a gram of protein produces an average heat of 5.65 kcal. However, since our body is unable to use the nitrogen contained in them, their energy power is reduced to 4.35 kcal per gram. Normally, 92% of the proteins introduced with the diet are absorbed, 97% of the animal ones, and 78% of the vegetable ones. It follows the proteins they supply to our body on average of 4 kcal per gram. Protein digestion. At the gastric level, stomach, proteins undergo a partial degradation in amino acids, thanks to the action of the gastric juice and hydrochloric acid, which will be completed in the first part of the small intestine, duodenum. To optimize digestion and absorption of proteins, it is good to avoid associating proteins of different origin, eggs and cheese, or milk and meat. Avoid associating proteins with a meal rich in carbohydrates, a small amount, as a piece of bread is obviously tolerated. Combining small doses of acidic foods, such as lemon juice or vinegar. To associate to the protein meal a little vegetable that, besides preventing phenomena of intestinal putrefaction, thanks to the high intake of vitamins and minerals, promotes the enzymatic action. Role of proteins in the body. As we have already said, the main function of proteins is to supply the amino acids necessary for tissue renewal processes or plastic functions. Proteins are also custodians of the genetic code, DNA and RNA of the cell nucleus. They act as carriers of various substances present in the blood, hemoglobin, hormones, etc. They act as neurotransmitters, like serotonin. They intervene in blood coagulation. They are necessary for muscle contraction and the body's immune defense. They are precursors of enzymes that regulate the speed of reactions and that intervene in the various metabolisms of the body. Proteins also have an energy function in particular conditions, but in a balanced diet, this role is marginal. Instead, this process is active during prolonged fasting when branched chains of amino acids, leucine, isoleucine, valine, are degraded for energy purposes and during prolonged and/or very intense physical activity. How many proteins in a balanced diet? Nutritionists recommend taking during the day a quantity of proteins equal to about 15 to 20% of the total daily caloric intake, equal to 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight. What kind? These proteins should derive 2/3 from products of animal origin and 1/3 from products of vegetable origin. Remember, the protein requirement is inversely proportional to age. Are all proteins the same? The amount of protein is not the only important parameter. In order for a diet to be considered balanced, protein quality must also be considered. The quality of any protein can be assessed using a classification system based on several variables. Biological value, VB or BV, represents the amount of nitrogen actually absorbed and used net of urinary, fecal, cutaneous losses, etc. A protein that has a perfect balance between absorbed amino acids and between believed amino acids has a biological value of 100. The reference protein is that of the egg that has a VP equal to 100%. NB cooking food greatly reduces the biological value of proteins. For example, after cooking, chicken meat has a VB of 76 and beef of 50. Content in essential amino acids. Those proteins containing all the essential AAs in quantity and in balanced relationships can be defined as complete or noble. In general, animal proteins are complete and plant proteins are incomplete. The noble wording associated with vegetable proteins is incorrect and was introduced to counter the saying that legumes are the meat of the poor. In reality, taking a decent source of vegetable protein in a diet is very important, and to further enhance this concept, the term noble has been improperly introduced. In any case, these deficiencies can be overcome simply by using appropriate food associations, such as pasta and fagioli. In this case, we speak of mutual integration because the amino acids of which the pasta is lacking are supplied by the beans, and vice versa. PDCAAS, Protein Digestibility Corrected Amino Acid Score, or Amino Acid Value Corrected for Protein Digestibility. This is a new method for measuring protein quality, based on the amino acid demands of the human organism. The PDCAAS, which was adopted by the FDA and the FAO/WHO as an ideal system to classify protein quality, takes into account both the amino acid content and the digestibility of proteins. It is therefore an index similar to the chemical score, which instead of considering the profile of egg proteins as ideal, used as a reference for the optimal amino acid supply of children aged 2 to 5, it also takes into account, very importantly, the digestibility of the considered protein. The age group examined, 2 to 5 years, is the one in which the need for protein per kilogram, and therefore for single amino acids, is maximum. The highest PDCAAS value is 1.0, the minimum 0. Therefore, every protein with a value of 1.0 is considered complete for humans. After its digestion, it provides, per unit, 100% or more of the essential amino acids required. When relying on PDCAAS to determine the quality of a protein, it must always be taken into account that the combination of two incomplete but complementary protein sources, example given wheat and legumes, brings the overall PDCAAS of the meal closer to unity. Ketogenic diet and endurance sports. The ketogenic diet for endurance sports, in which the main fuel is muscle glycogen, would seem to be an unfortunate choice, but recent studies show that the use of this protocol in the preparation phase could be useful for athletes who try to increase their weight use of the fat during physical activity. The ketogenic diet is a diet that provides an extremely reduced intake of carbohydrates with an increase in lipid and protein levels. Under these conditions, the body uses fat acids as the substrate of choice for its own energy processes, both directly and by converting fatty acids